Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, Simon Hill, of course, is the host of the Global Game tonight, right across the SEN network from 8 o'clock and the SEN app from McCafe Coffee Catch-Up. He joins us. You can win free McCafe Coffee for a year on the My Macca's app. And excellent timing, Simon, because there is a heck to get to. The first week of the A-League finals have been run and won. How about the Melbourne Derby? It went to penalties. I'm not sure what you think, but lived up to the hype for mine.
Yeah, it did. Probably not the most aesthetically pleasing game of football, but in terms of tension and drama, I thought it was right up there, which is what you expect from finals football and from a derby, of course, as well. The standout undoubtedly was Paul Izzo. His performance, for me, probably the best goalkeeping display I think I've ever seen in the A-League competition, to be honest. Right. He was absolutely unbeatable. So we've got him on the show tonight, so we'll try and get some more insight as to how he performed so well. Great backs-to-the-wall display generally by Victory. City will be kicking themselves. But, you know, they should have won that game pretty comfortably. And the reason why they didn't was A, profligate finishing, and B, Paul Izzo. Simple as that.
As the full toll of Izzo's performance, though. So he saves a penalty in the match, Simon. He saves three in the shootout. He converts one himself, Manuel Neuer style. Yeah. Should they be building a statue of him?
Well, it's probably a little bit early to do that. We could do with one of Ange Postecoglou and Melbourne before that. But anyway, look, it was certainly a magnificent performance. And if he repeats that in the semi-finals, then Victory have got every chance of going through to the big dance. But, you know, the big question now for Victory is, and I'm sure Tony Popovich will argue vehemently against this, but have they played their grand final in getting past City? You know, that was an almighty effort. And now they've got to back up against Wellington, who've had a terrific season themselves. And they've got to do it without Zinedine Mishash, of course, as well. He's been suspended for two games. So it's going to be difficult, but you know, that was a night that I'm sure Victory fans will remember for a long, long time.
Speaking of host of the Global Game, Simon Hill, of course. So, Simon, just on the Phoenix, so we're kicking back in New Zealand watching this one. You mentioned it wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing game. They wouldn't probably be sitting back quaking in their boots awaiting the winner, and now going up against Victory, they'd have every right to be supremely confident, wouldn't they? And would they be?
Well, confident, yes. I don't know about supremely. I mean, they've played each other twice in the regular season, and both games have ended in one-all draws. So, you know, they're pretty tightly matched. But things do favour the teams that finish 1 and 2 in the regular season. Obviously, they've had that week off to, you know, rest whatever injuries or weary legs that they've got. And they'll have the second leg at home in front of a full house in Wellington. Mm. So all the stats are in their favour. And if you go back through the history books of the A-League, it's normally 1 versus 2 in the grand final. It's not always the case, but more often than not, that's the way it pans out. So I think it's a slight favouring of Wellington Phoenix, especially given the season they've had. But don't rule Victory out, particularly if they show the sort of spirit they showed on Sunday.
Now, the other elimination final was Sydney against MacArthur. Now, it was a fair effort for MacArthur to go from wooden spooners and up into the top six. And Milos Stojovski's done a great job there. In fact, they'd won, I think, the last three meetings against Sydney FC. But in this final, they got absolutely towed, Simon.
Well, they did, but there is a caveat to that. The game, for me, was spoiled by the sending off of Keeley Adamson in the first half for what was let's call it a controversial red card. There are some people who think it was fair enough, but
what do you think?
Persuasion that I don't think it was a red card. I think a foul, maybe a booking was enough.
Yep.
But anyway, you know, sometimes those decisions go against you. And unfortunately, that just killed MacArthur. Sydney are strong at home, and I think there was only ever going to be one winner after that, to be honest. So, you know, all credit to Sydney, but you can only beat what's in front of you, and they did so quite comfortably. Joe Lolley scored an absolutely amazing goal, but he's got a bit of a hamstring problem, as I understand, whether he'll be fit for the first leg of the semi against the Mariners on Friday. I don't know. Luke Bratton went off with a problem as well, so... yeah, it's going to be very interesting, that matchup against the Central Coast, who are, of course, the Premiers.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, this is the AFC Cup as well, though, that they've won and are celebrating, I imagine. I mean, it hasn't got a lot of traction, I don't think, from... I don't know, is it being underplayed, Simon, this achievement?
By about 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
But that's no surprise. You know, we unfortunately, winning these tournaments, I say we as a sport... with the wrong shape of ball. If this was AFL or rugby league, it would be back page all week.
So this is for the uneducated. This is would essentially be the Asian Club Championship that they've won.
No, it's effectively, if you understand the way the European system works with the European Champions
yep.
League and the Europa League, which is the second tier competition. This is the AFC Cup is the Europa League,
right,
if
yep.
you like, of Asian football. So it's not the biggest prize in Asia, but it's still a very, very tough tournament to win. And when you consider that the Mariners have travelled, I think it's 103,000 kilometres throughout the course of the journey, backwards and forwards to West Asia, East Asia, all over the place, Kyrgyzstan, Oman, Southeast Asia. And they've had to get through, I think, 14 games just to get to, you know, the point where they won the trophy. So it's an incredible achievement, particularly when they've been backing up week in, week out in the A-League and winning or drawing games. So if they go on and win the championship, that would be the first ever treble in our code of football in this country. And, you know, that will stand the test of time as probably the greatest single club team achievement until somebody wins the domestic double and the Asian Champions League, which was obviously a bit better, but you know, it's an amazing achievement, particularly given they lost half a team and their coach after their title win last season.
Yeah, and all those geographical challenges you mentioned that would have stretched the playing squad to its to bursting point as well. The A-League Women's Grand Final, this was always fascinating coming in because it was Sydney against Melbourne City. Now, Sydney, I think, were a perfect 4 from 4 in Grand Finals. I think 3 of those had actually come against Sydney as well. In the end, that counted for absolutely nothing, Simon. Sydney FC won at 1-0.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sometimes the way it goes. And, you know, Melbourne City, in common with their men's team 24 hours later, really should have won that game.
Mm.
They had enough opportunities. But, again, they came up against an inspired goalkeeper. Jada Wyman was magnificent between the posts for Sydney. It was a real rearguard effort to defend the goal once they scored it through Shay Connors, who came off the bench. I think that was her first goal for Sydney, actually. And given, again, the problems that they've had this season, they lost Nat Tobin, who's their central defender and captain. They lost Kirsty Fenton to injury as well. They've had some other injury worries. So for them to go away from home and win a grand final is an amazing achievement. Of course, that's back-to-back and now 5 titles for Sydney. So that's a new record in the women's game for Ante Juric, who's on the show as well tonight. He's having an incredible run as coach.
Just quickly on the Premier League before I get your thoughts on the title race, which I think, for all intents and purposes, is now a race in two. Manchester United, horrible this morning. 4-0 loss to Crystal Palace. I think Eric Ten Hag's future's been a talking point for a while now. That's just become a furnace, hasn't it, in the last 12 hours?
Yeah. Look, I think so. You know, his head's been on the block for a while. But I think the execution is sharpening the axe as we speak.
Yep.
You know, they've probably got one game left to save his tenure, if you want to put it that way, and that's the FA Cup final against Manchester City at Wembley. But, you know, they're not going to start favourites in that game. Their capitulation this morning, our time, against Crystal Palace was abject again. You know, they need a thorough Broome put through the place, not just in terms of the playing personnel, but there are all sorts of off-field issues with ownership and the stadium and, you know, the Glazers, who the fans are, well, at best, split on. And I think until all that off-field stuff is resolved, this up-down existence that they've been living since, really, Alex Ferguson left the club in 2013, is going to continue. But I would imagine if Ten Hag doesn't win the FA Cup, I think he's gone.
To what, just speaking of managers under pressure, to what degree are they turning on our Ange Postecoglou over there? Spurs lost their last four on the bounce in the Premier League. They've slipped to fifth. What's happening with Spurs, please, Simon?
Well, it's difficult to put your finger on. And, you know, you look at their defensive shape at times, and it's, and we, you know, we've experienced this with Ange and the way his teams play in Australia. They can be gung-ho at times, and, you know, that's okay. It's great on the eye when they're scoring goals at the other end. But the problem is that the goals have dried up at the other end as well. Son Heung-min has not been probably the same player since returning from the Asian Cup mid-season, which, again, is, you know, that's a question for another day as to whether it should be played in the middle of the European domestic season. And yeah, he's coming under fire a little bit, and I'm afraid that's just the way it goes in football in Europe. If you lose four in a row, particularly at a big club, which Spurs are, then, you know, people are going to start getting after you. So Ange knows that. He's a big boy. He understands the way it works in Europe. I think he'll be okay. I don't think they will push the panic button. But it's been a disappointing end to the season, that's for sure.
Just at the very, very pointy end of the EPL table with just a couple of games to go. I've seen this movie so many times, and you have as well. I'm sure you're prepared to declare Manchester City certainties for the title.
No, I never do that, mate. I don't want to jinx it. The funny thing is that City have got, well, they've got three games left. Arsenal have got two. There's only a point between them. Arsenal are top at the moment. And there are two tricky games on paper, one for each. Arsenal go to Man United next week, but on current form, would you really back United up against Arsenal? City go to Tottenham in a few days after that game in Old Trafford. And again, that's a ground where City haven't won a lot at in the past. But given Spurs' current form, would you really back Spurs against City? So the title may be decided in that little 4 or 5 day window, I think.
Yep.
Very tight. It's been a great race. Obviously, I hope City win it.
Now, just before I let you go, Simon, the Champions League, I love, especially the this time of the year. We're into the semi-final stage. Now, the second legs are on this week. PSG and Borussia Dortmund, 5 a.m. tomorrow. And then the one I'm really looking forward to on Thursday is Real Madrid and Bayern. That one's sitting poised at 2-2. Real Madrid are just an amazing sporting organisation. Who do you fancy to progress into the final from these four?
Well, again, speaking with my Man City hat on, I hope it's not Real Madrid, because I'm still irritated that they managed to knock us out in the quarterfinals. Sorry about the noise, by the way. Playing going overhead. And from, you know, being an Englishman myself, I'd love to see Harry Kane finally win some silverware. He's waited an awful long time. He thought he was going to do it in the Bundesliga with Bayern this season, but Bayer Leverkusen have shaken off their name tag at Bayern Leverkusen by winning it. So I hope that Bayern go through for Harry's sake, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was Real Madrid. This competition is one that they feel they own, and for good reason.
Yeah, yeah. And then PSG are at home against Borussia Dortmund, who were pegged back for long periods in that semi, but they found a way. They took their opportunity. The Parisians didn't. Do you see them hitting back at home, the French?
I do, to be honest. And again, I just wonder whether this is Paris Saint-Germain's time. You know, they've been there or thereabouts for quite a few years now. They've got some amazing players, particularly Kylian Mbappe, of course. So I wonder whether this might just be their year. But again, you know, two semis that are beautifully poised that could go either way in both.
Yeah. Hey, Simon, can't wait for the global game tonight. So it's right across the SEN network at 8 o'clock. Paul Izzo, the goalkeeping superstar, your special guest. Now, there's no room for modesty here, by the way, either, Simon. He's got to enjoy this moment. I expect him to be upfront and honest about how good he feels about himself.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
He's a modest guy, but I'm sure he'll have enjoyed the last couple of days.
Beautifully done, mate. Appreciate you joining us as well.
Thanks, mate. All the best, sir.